salt is a very potent ingredient and a very precious commodity. And it has a multifaceted function.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Ye are the salt of the earth. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verse 13, where we're taught from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? I want you to notice with me two basic insights regarding our calling as the salt of the earth. Now, the first thing that I want to look at very briefly here, or very concisely, I hope I can do it briefly, is a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. We are characterized as salt. What does that mean? Ye are the salt of the earth. And if I have time, I want to talk about a catastrophe that Jesus hints at in this verse. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is thereafter good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And I wonder how many Christians have lost their true identity as the salt of the earth and are thereafter good for nothing, and are trodden underfoot by the men of this world who no longer take their witness and their testimony seriously. First, a characterization. Ye are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? To me, that answers two very important questions. The first question is this: what does that teach us about the world? That simple statement, ye are the salt of the earth, teaches us something very significant about the world in which we live. And we need to understand that world. And then it answers a second very poignant question, and that is, what does that teach us about the Christian? What does it mean, Christian, that you are the salt of the earth? First of all, what does that teach us about the world? What kind of a world needs salt? It is a world that is filled with rottenness and pollution. It is a world that is offensive and foul. It's sad to say, but it's true. It is a world that needs an antiseptic, and our world is like that. It is the kind of world that needs salt. It needs an antiseptic, and you Christians are that antiseptic. And before you can be rubbed into the secular world around you and achieve the goals that God intended for you to achieve, you need to understand your world. What God says about the world is the truth. And so when Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, he was saying, there are these germs of evil. There are these microbes, these infective agents and organisms in the very body of humanity. And unless they are attacked, unless they are checked and restrained, they cause disease. Jesus was saying the world is festering in its own disease. It is offensive and it is foul. It is sinful and it is evil. And so there is this desperate need of an antiseptic. And so Jesus sends his disciples into the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the antiseptic. That simple statement, you are the salt of the earth, that teaches us something about the world in which we live. But it teaches us something else. What does that teach us about the Christian? You are the salt of the earth. Do you know, in my mind, that teaches us two things about a Christian. You may want to jot them down. We learn two things about a Christian when we read that phrase, you are the salt of the earth. One, we learn about the Christian's primacy. He is a very primary being on this globe. He is a very important individual, a very valuable ingredient in the world. We learn something about the Christian's primacy when we study the value of salt in the ancient world. And then we learn something else. We learn something about the Christian's potency. Salt is a very potent ingredient and a very precious commodity. And it has a multifaceted function. And when you study that function, you gain a little insight into what it means to be the salt of the earth. You learn two things from that phrase. One, you learn about the Christian's primacy from the value of salt, and you learn about the Christian's potency from the virtues of salt. You say, Pastor McLaughlin, what is the value of salt? Do you know that in the ancient world, salt was a very precious commodity? The Greeks called salt divine. In fact, they had a word for it, theon. It's related to our word theos, God. Polytheistic, they called everything divine, and salt was one of them. The Greeks called salt divine. It was a very precious commodity in the Greek world. The Romans viewed salt, I'm talking about the world of Jesus' day now. The Romans viewed salt as a symbol of purity, and they considered it so valuable that Roman soldiers were often paid in salt. In fact, did you know that the Latin word sale is the word from which we get our English word salary, which some of you receive on a weekly basis, and that it's related to the word salt? Roman soldiers were paid in salt. When someone says he's not worth his salt, what he's saying is he's not worth his salary. The Romans considered it a very valuable commodity. The Jews were instructed in the Old Testament to salt all of their meat offerings, Leviticus chapter 2 in verse 13, before they were consumed in flame. The Arabs viewed the partaking of salt by different people together as a pledge of friendship. It is equivalent to a most solemn covenant. In fact, the Arabs have a saying, it's in ancient documents, there is salt between us. And what that means is we've entered into a solemn covenant and we have pledged our friendship to one another. What am I saying? I'm saying that in Jesus' day, salt was a very precious commodity. And when Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth," he was paying them the highest of compliments. He was saying, "You are of great value. You are very precious in the eyes of God, and you are very needful in a world that is disintegrating and is polluted and is corrupted." The truly Christian man, the man who takes his relationship with God seriously, the man who understands what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, the man who knows that the word Lord, when applied to Jesus, is more than a word, but is a relationship. The man who is sensitive to the promptings of God's Holy Spirit, the man who digs into the Word of God and applies the spiritual tools to his life that God provides for him there, that kind of a man, the truly Christian man, renders, Jesus says, an invaluable service to humanity, a service that often goes unnoticed and is sometimes largely hidden, but is invaluable nevertheless. We learn something about a Christian disciple when we study that phrase, "You are the salt of the earth." We learn about the primacy of the Christian. He has great value. But with that value and with that position, with that honor, goes great responsibility. The second thing we learn from that phrase about the salt is the Christian's potency. We learn it from the virtues of salt. Salt had a multifaceted function in the ancient world. To a certain extent, it still does in the modern world, and so does the Christian. In fact, may I just give you quickly as I can, five functions of salt, which give an insight into what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, salt is an additive. It lends flavor to things. It takes otherwise tasteless and listless food and seasons it. It quickens the taste. Do you know that's what a Christian is to do to life? What salt is to food, a Christian is to be to life in general. He's to lend flavor. He's to quicken its taste. He's to demonstrate that there is a meaningful way of life apart from the pleasure mania of our world. Do you know what is the primary evidence that modern man is empty? That his whole way of life is dull, that he's bored to death with life. He has no purpose and no meaning to his life. It is the pleasure mania. The pleasure mania is a revelation of the truth that modern man's way of life is dull and empty and boring, and the Christian, in the midst of that kind of life, is to provide an alternative. In the face of worry, the Christian is to be serene. In the face of depression, the Christian is to be full of the joy of the Lord. He is to be a diffuser of joy. He is to be a living, dynamic demonstration that life can really have a capital L, that there is a deeply satisfying life to be found in Jesus Christ, and that it is self-sufficient and self-contained, and it needs no external resources of maintenance. A man can learn to delight himself in the Lord and in nothing else. A Christian is to be an additive. He's to lend flavor. He's to season life. Salt is not only an additive, it is a curative, and that's what a Christian is to be. Salt was used in the ancient world as a curative, being applied to wounds, for example, to eliminate infections and to initiate healing. It was a painful curative. When salt is applied to an open wound, it stings. Do you know the Christian is not honey to soothe the sinful world by compromising alliances to tone down and water down the message of the gospel? A Christian is not honey to soothe a sinful world. He is salt to deeply convict it. As a Christian witnesses and functions in this way, he opens the door to spiritual healing. He ministers to people who are wounded by Satan and by sin. He becomes a curative, as salt did, or salt was. And then there's a third function of salt, which gives an insight in what it means to be a Christian disciple. Salt was an additive, lending flavor to life. It was a curative, initiating healing and prohibiting an infection. And then it was a preservative, often used to preserve meats and to arrest decay, to act as an antiseptic, to prevent putrefaction and corruption. You say, well, where does this putrefaction and corruption come from? Do you know that wherever there is death, there is decay? And we live out our lives in the midst of a decaying world, in the midst of a dying world. Individuals who are infected with spiritual death, they may be physiologically alive, they may be intellectually alive, they may be biologically alive, reproducing themselves, they may be sociologically alive, having social interaction with others around them, but they are spiritually dead. They're out of touch with God. That's what Paul meant when he said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." We live in a world that is infected with spiritual death. And wherever there is death, there is decay. There is no sufficient support for the cellular structure. Wherever there is death, there is decay. We live in that kind of a world. A world in which individuals infected with spiritual death are disintegrating. Institutions are disintegrating. Churches sometimes are disintegrating. Marriages are disintegrating. Families are disintegrating. Infected with spiritual death, putrefaction, and corruption. Evidence of moral decomposition. Evidences of moral decomposition are omnipresent. They're everywhere present. So what does God call upon us to do? Christians are called upon to be a moral and spiritual disinfectant in a world that is falling apart at the seams.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.